Blog Talk Radio.
Evening and welcome to Raven's Real Spiel Radio. This is your girl Raven, the serial poet, coming to bring you another night of 31 Days of Horror. This is the seventh night, which means that is a week that we've been doing this. Y'all have been showing up and showing out per usual. And I just want to say I love y'all and I appreciate the love and support that y'all have been providing this show, even during the playbacks and things of that nature. If you're not following me on here, please make sure that you follow Radius Real Spiel so you can know what shows come next. Because trust and believe, after these 31 days is up, you will want to know what's coming up next month, because it's going to be major. So, before we get into the show, let me first say, I hope y'all had a beautiful day, as did I. And I hope that you have your popcorn, your doors locked, you cut it up with the, you know, the lifestyle and things like that, so you can prepare to be entertained, because I promise you, like, goosebumps and hair standing on end and all that about to go down. You're not ready. So the number calling is 914-205-5813. That is 914-205-5813. And if you're listening to the playback, welcome and enjoy.
When I was in elementary school, a prank pretending to be a ghost and making people frightened had caught on through SNS. In my case, I was still young at that time. I also wanted to try that prank, so that evening, I went to the stairway of the apartment's emergency exit crouched down on the stair, and waited for the people to come in. Just then I saw a boy coming to the emergency exit. He didn't say anything, but just stared at me. I thought it was a perfect time, so I decided to play a prank on him. "Do you see me?" I was laughing up my sleeve, and then I suddenly saw his chilling grin. "Wow, you see me too?" As soon as he asked me back, I felt like my mind went blank at that moment. The exit was completely dark. Then the sensor lights once blinked. When I looked forward, there was a boy standing in a weird position that people could not even try. He was staring at me with his body facing the exit and his neck turning 180 degrees. I jumped up to the exit in fear. As soon as I turned around before opening the door, I saw his head begin to turn slowly, staring at me with a curious look. And then I could barely get out from there. When I was in high school, I was on my way home after finishing my night study. It was late at night when I finally got home. I was about to turn on the light, then I saw my mom was staring at me from the front porch. "Mom, why are you standing there? Come out." Speaking naturally, I walked towards the kitchen to drink some water and then found a note on the table. "I'm going to attend a night meeting. Eat your dinner with your brother." "What? Then who is she?" My heart dropped. I thought I should not stay here anymore. However, I was terrified that it would follow me right away if I tried to run at that moment. So I slowly began to walk across the living room toward the front door. And it was still standing in the same position, but only its eyes kept following my moving. I left the house in my bare feet the moment I arrived at the front door, and then immediately called my older brother. And what he told me was a pure shock. "Did you see that?" Turns out my brother had come home earlier. It is said that the thing on the back porch was standing in the main room when he first came inside, and it was staring at him through the open door. He also said that the whites of its eyes looked abnormally large, and the black part of the eyeball was so small, as if only the pupils were left. My brother and I had to stay up all night in the PC room until Mom finally came back that day.
I'm from West Virginia, and I moved all the way to Lexington, Kentucky for a girl. Now, that might be, well, the scariest part of the story, that a dude from West Virginia moved over the border to Kentucky and only for a girl, but I assure you, it gets worse. A lot worse. She was super affectionate when we first got together, like, I couldn't have wished for a better girlfriend. But as time went on and we got more secure in the whole thing, that affection dropped off to next to nothing. It was a slow process, almost like a leaky bucket or something. I barely noticed the relationship dropping off bit by bit until one day, I just realized there was nothing left of us. We were like roommates more than anything, hardly spent any time together. Didn't actually get intimate for like months at a time, and in the end, sleeping in the same bed as her was so depressing that I ended up just staying on the couch. Not long after I started calling the couch my bed, we broke up formally. It sucked, but I saw it coming a long way off, and it wasn't entirely unwelcome. And that's when I started talking to this girl on Reddit. Now, I should make it perfectly clear that I was never, ever unfaithful to my girlfriend. Only when we broke up, I was so starved for affection and female attention that I looked for it wherever I could. I wasn't confident for dating apps, I don't think, so Reddit's anonymity suited me just fine. Eventually, me and this girl that I met on the r/gaming sub swapped numbers and actually started planning to meet. She lived over in Arizona, but flying down there to meet her didn't seem like a big deal at all. Not when she was so nice and pretty, too. I remember staying up super late, talking to her one night, trying to keep my voice down so Max wouldn't hear. We planned all the stuff we'd do together, all the places that she'd take me in Phoenix, all the bomb Mexican food we were going to eat. I was excited, and I went to sleep smiling. But I sure didn't wake up that way. I woke up to loud crashing noises just feet away from me in the TV room. At first, I thought it was a home invasion or something. But when I looked around, it was her, my ex, and she was smashing my Xbox with a baseball bat over and over again. I screamed at her, asking her what she thought she was doing, then went to grab my phone so I could call the cops. Only it wasn't on the coffee table, where I usually put it on charge every night. It was nowhere to be seen. That's when my ex started ranting about how I'd been cheating, how she knew everything, and then mentioned the Reddit girl by name before she swung at me with the baseball bat. I fell backwards over the couch trying to avoid the strike, and I did, but Jesus Christ, the whole rush of air as it went past my face just about put the fear of God into me. She chased me around the apartment, swinging that bat as hard as she could until I locked myself in her bathroom. I thought I might be able to reason with her from the other side of the door, to be able to actually explain that the Reddit girl was someone I started talking to after we broke up. But she actually tried to bash the door down, and I'm still amazed that she didn't manage it. Like it was legit like that scene from The Shining. She bashed a hole in one of the wood panels and proceeded to scream through that. Thank God it wasn't big enough for her to reach through and unlock the door. Otherwise, I'd have been in some serious trouble. Eventually, she calmed down enough to stop trying to kill me, but she wanted me out of the apartment, like that night. I didn't even gather everything up. I just threw some essentials into a bag and got out of there. I kept imagining her sneaking up with a kitchen knife or something, catching me off guard and then just stabbing me to death or something. I've had friends ask me why I didn't just restrain her, why I was so scared of a girl. But that's about the dumbest response I've ever had to this whole story. A swing from that bat or a stab wound in the right place, it wouldn't have mattered what was or wasn't dangling between a person's legs. I'd have been dead as a doornail. I got out of there pretty fast, drove to a motel, then tried and failed to sleep through the rest of the night. The next morning, I called my mom in West Virginia, told her everything, and arranged to stay with her for a little while until I could get back on my feet. I'd have gone back to the apartment to get the rest of my things if I didn't think that she'd either smash or burned everything I owned. Besides, I was just happier to be out of there by that point, and I'll tell you another thing. I have never, ever been back to Kentucky since then. I'll wait until Tyler Childers comes back round to Virgie, rather than bring up all those bad memories.
Three Scary Stories, Animated. 1. The Man in My Dream. I've been having a nightmare for 10 years. The same guy keeps appearing in my dream, and every day he's coming to me little by little. At first I think he was apparently standing outside the room, but now he was staring at me, blinking in front of me, and it was just yesterday. I've been getting used to having this nightmare for 10 years, but now I feel like I'm going to die. If I fall asleep tonight, I think he'll come one step closer, and he'll finally kill me. 2. The Feet in the Mirror. 6 years ago, in the winter, I was arranging my bangs looking at the mirror next to the elevator after class. There was a staircase reflecting in the mirror behind me at that time. After I had my bangs adjusted for a long time, I glanced at the stairs in the mirror and then noticed that there's a white feet at the top of the stairs. Stupid! Who the heck is going around with barefoot in this weather? I was wondering who it was, so I looked back and there was no one there. My heart sank, and my whole body became stiff at that moment. I thought I was mistaken, so I looked back into the mirror, but those feet were still there. And it even came down a couple of steps more. I got goosebumps, burst into tears, and then ran out of the spot screaming. I never look in the mirror when I'm alone ever since that day. What was that foot? 3. The Man in the Subway. I used to go to the academy by subway. One day I was sitting at the end of the seat by the door, and an old man was sitting right next to me. Then the subway stopped at one station. The moment the door in front of me opened, the guy came in from the side door of me at the same time. The door next to me won't be able to open due to the system, so how could a person come in through there? I still remember this moment vividly. When I glanced slightly to the side, he was wearing a sweatshirt, and I could see that he was just standing there with a blank look. The old man sitting next to me said to me, who was staring blankly at the man, "Kid, you have to pretend not to see that thing." This incident happened when I was around 10 years old. Every half term, we would have a week off from school, and it's very common for families to go on safari in places like Tsavo or Masai Mara, as I was living in Kenya, Africa. It was basically like a tradition for my family to go with this other family, since they had a camp which they were trying to develop at the same time near Tsavo National Park. And it was perfect because you didn't have to pay for the park entrance fee, which costs $90 per day. Since this camp was on the border of the national park, you could see everything, like lions, leopards, buffaloes, elephants, whatever things, without paying a cent. So on a Friday afternoon, my dad filled up his Land Rover with all the necessities like beer, steaks, water, some sodas, and we started to follow the other family's car to Tsavo. If you were really lucky, you can get there within 4 hours, but most of the time it took almost 8 hours. Because there was just one road to get there, and since I was living in a developing country, the traffic was like a hell. So we finally got there in the middle of the evening. My dad was really eager to set up a barbecue for the steaks and have a bit of wild time with the other adults while I and my friend with her younger brother were playing on the picnic table. The camp was very basic style. It had mud huts with mosquito netting windows just to protect us a little bit from the mosquitoes, but the bathrooms were outside in the open without much privacy. And there were a couple of rangers taking turns to walk around the camp, just to make sure that the electric fence was working right and the entrance to the camp was clear. So while my dad was grilling at the barbecue, one of the rangers, who I've known since I was a toddler, came to us and told about the safari horror stories. It was how a leopard dragged its prey in one of these rooms, or how he got his various deep scars from wild animals, something like this. After he told us this, he shone his flashlight towards the darkness beyond the electric fence. I could see various reflecting eyes, some smaller, some larger. As a kid, I was terrified, but the adults were continuing their conversation. Around 11 p.m., I decided to go to the bathroom. With my flashlight, I could see there were loads of scorpions on the ground. As I was walking down the path to the bathrooms, I shone my light towards the fence, and I saw the back of the lion behind the bushes, which means they were much closer to us than what we had expected. I rushed back without peeing and told my parents and the rangers what I saw, and the rangers sent us off to our designated rooms immediately. I was in the hut with my friend and her family, and my dad was with my stepmom. Each parent had a walkie-talkie that had direct contact with the rangers. During that night, I could hear the commotion through the walkie-talkies, but I just shrugged it off. Around 1 a.m., I was dying to pee, so I woke my friend's dad to go with me because obviously I was terrified to go by myself. Trying his best to reassure me, he said that I couldn't go right now. I couldn't understand why he said that, so I kept questioning why. As I was getting frustrated that I couldn't hold it any longer, his walkie-talkie was suddenly on and we could clearly hear the ranger's urgent voice.
"Sir, do not leave your room. There is a lion right in front of your hut's door."
We then both froze. I could hear grunting with the occasional lion's call. For those who have never been on safari or have never heard a lion's calling, when it is that close to you, you can feel the roar vibrating your bones. I was in so much shock that I couldn't even cry. I held my breath for what felt like an eternity, and well, to tell the truth, I even peed myself a little bit at that time. Then we heard scratching and sniffing from under the door, which caused my friend to wake up and start screaming. When she was about to scream, her dad immediately covered her mouth to try to make it as silent as possible and calm her down. We all realized that this situation could end badly. We were in a small mud hut with bunk beds, and just behind the door was an over 190-kilogram lion being curious to see what's inside. Suddenly, we hear gunshots. I guess it was from the rangers. And then there was a silence, maybe about 5 minutes. All I could hear was the cricket in the far distance. Abruptly, the walkie-talkie started with one of the ranger's voices that the lion which got scared from the gunshots had left the camp. However, they also told there was still one other lion around the camp, so they were searching for it to drive it out. At that moment, I heard my stepmom screaming from the top of her lungs in company with gunshots. That's when we started to worry, so my friend's dad was constantly talking with the rangers to figure out if she was safe. Luckily, nothing happened to her. It turned out that she woke up because of the first set of gunshots. And when she was about to go back to sleep, she saw the lion with two glancing eyes and a black mane staring from outside the mosquito window at her, which caused her to scream. Eventually, the lion ran away from the place, being surprised at the second gunshot by the rangers. We were able to come back safely from the camp. However, I've been gotten goosebumps whenever I think about that incident. I'm just glad that I didn't try to go out by myself.
A coworker told me this unforgettable story about his time in high school. I'm going to write this from his perspective. Central High School in Springfield, Missouri is haunted. I know what you're thinking. Every kid says their school is haunted. But my story is different. I saw it. Central was actually the first high school in Springfield. The original brick building with its tower still stands, but has now expanded with many new wings. We'd all heard the stories about the steam tunnels that connected the buildings and the supposed hangings, but far more compelling was the story of the deadly principal who would whip troublesome students to death. That would have happened long ago when Springfield was a small town, and not the Queen City of the Ozarks. We had heard the rumors, the stories that were likely exaggerated, but being high schoolers, we knew we had to do one thing: be at the school late at night. I was the one who came up with the idea that we needed to join the drama class. They were preparing a performance of South Pacific, and as I explained to my group of friends, the way to get in would be to join the class as stagehands. Stay to clean up after the performance, and then just stay. And that was what we did. Well, only a couple of us actually got onto the crew, but after everyone else had left, letting the others in was simple. We split up into three pairs: myself and Sarah, Rich and Paul, and Michelle and Dan. We didn't have flashlights, and this was before we had cell phones. But the moonlight from the windows and the familiarity of the halls allowed us to get around the school very easily. After about an hour, we began to think perhaps the stories were just stories. We began to make our way to the gymnasium. We started to compare experiences, but everyone said the same thing. They hadn't seen anything, nor heard anything strange. And that's when a chair flew across the gym and slammed into the wall. "What the heck?" I gasped before I saw something else. Swarms of glittering little things crawling across the floor. They were cockroaches. We'd see cockroaches in the gym on occasion, but usually one or two, not hundreds. "Let's get out of here," yelled Michelle, and we hurried to the nearest exit, a stairway leading up to the second floor. It wasn't until we got upstairs that we realized that going upstairs probably wasn't the best course of action, but the cockroaches didn't seem to follow us there. As we stood next to a classroom, catching our breath, we heard loud footsteps down the hall. All of us backed up against the wall, trying to let whatever this was just pass by. As the loud, plodding footsteps came nearer, our tension grew higher. "Oh, screw this," Rich said, and he ran into a classroom, Sarah following quickly after him. The door slammed shut behind them. "Guys!" I called. I almost didn't notice that the footsteps had stopped. Suddenly, we heard them scream, and something slammed against the wall. And then something else hit it. They kept on screaming. Paul pulled at the door, but the handle was stuck. Finally, after a few minutes of them screaming and something hitting the wall, it opened. entered the classroom. All the desks and chairs were knocked over, and some had clearly been hitting the walls. How they'd gone that far was a mystery, as they were pretty heavy. We found Sarah crouched in a corner, crying and babbling incoherently, a puddle of moisture underneath her. Rich, on the other hand, was stumbling toward the window. "Get him!" I called, and Dan ran towards Rich, grabbing him.
"Let me go. Just let me jump. Let me die,"
Rich cried. "Guys, this is enough," I said. "We need to get out of here." Michelle and Paul helped Sarah up, and helping Dan with Rich, we made our way back into the hall. As we stepped into the hallway, all at once, all the doors slammed shut. Then they all opened again and slammed again.
"Screw this,"
Michelle yelled, and she and Paul began hurrying down the stairs, supporting Sarah between them. Dan ran after them, and I pulled Rich after me. The cockroaches downstairs had seemingly dispersed as we made our way to the nearest exit. Pushing at the door, nothing seemed to happen.
"Come on, push it!"
Michelle yelled, and Paul, Dan, and I struck the door together, forcing it open. We pulled Sarah and Rich outside, and as we made our way to the cars, we heard the door behind us slam shut. Dan helped Rich to his car while Michelle and Paul brought Sarah to the car they'd arrived in. As for me, I ran to my own car. As I was about to climb inside, I happened to look back at the school, looking at the tower. There, in the top room, was a window. And very clearly, I could see the outline of someone looking out the window directly at us as we made our escape. It was then I realized the most horrifying thing of all, that we knew there was something in the high school. It knew we knew, and we had to go back to class on Monday.
My name is Eric, and this happened to me when I was around 7 or 8 years old. One summer, my dad took me to a campsite for a long weekend. When we arrived, there were some kids around my age playing in a small park. I looked at my dad, and he said, "Go ahead." So my dad unpacked the car, and I went to maybe make some friends. There were two boys in a small park. I said hello, and they said hello back. Their names were Kevin and Graham. Graham had to go shortly after because his parents were calling for him. So Kevin and I hung around, and we talked about things we liked and how long we were staying at the campsite. After about an hour, Kevin's mom was calling for him, so he had to leave. I was about to head back to my dad when a boy appeared from the woods. He said hello. I said hi back. He introduced himself as Daniel. He seemed like a nice kid and we got along pretty well. He asked me if I wanted to play hide and seek, so I said yes. We played hide and seek at the campsite for maybe 45 minutes until I told him I had to go, so I went back to my dad and went to the camper. I told my dad I'd made some friends, and my dad asked where their campers were. I told him where Kevin and Graham's were, but I never asked where Daniel was. I thought maybe, well, I'll see him the next day and I'll ask him then. So the next day I went outside to see if any of the kids wanted to play. Kevin and Graham were both unavailable. I was about to just return back to my camper when Daniel appeared out of nowhere, out the woods. We greeted each other, and I asked him if he wanted to play hide and seek again. He said, yeah. But he said, we should play at his house. I asked him where his house was. He told me it's not far. It's just through the woods. I followed Daniel in the woods toward his house. We were walking for ages, and one thing that I found unusual was, the more we walked, the less talkative and distant Daniel became. Eventually, we exited the woods, and Daniel said, here we are. He pointed at a rundown old house with a white van parked beside it. He started walking toward it. I slowly followed and asked Daniel, so this is your house? He replied by saying, yeah, let's go play hide and seek. I got this bad feeling. It became worse the closer we got to the house. It didn't look like a normal house. I started to notice that there were people standing by the windows inside the house. I asked Daniel if that was his dad in the window. And he said, yeah. Don't worry about him. He's harmless. And just continued walking. I don't know what it was, but something made me slow down. Daniel was by the front door at this point. And when he turned around, asked me if I was coming, I told him I had to go. I turned around and ran through the forest and back to my camper. I spent the next few hours watching TV. Then I got bored and decided to go back outside. I knocked on Graham's door, but he wasn't available. I knocked on Kevin's door, and his dad told me he was already out with some boy named Daniel. So I went back to the camper and did something else with my time. Late that night, there was a knock on our door. It was Kevin's parents. They asked if we had seen Kevin anywhere, as he's been gone for hours. I asked his mom if she had checked Daniel's house, and she said no because she didn't know where Daniel lived. I showed Kevin's parents along with my dad and a few other people through the woods to Daniel's house. When we got there, the van was gone. And when we knocked on the door, there was no answer. And the whole house was empty and abandoned. We didn't find Kevin for the rest of our time at the campsite, and he's still missing to this day as far as I know. I thought then, and still think today, that Daniel was some kind of bait to lure kids in the same age as him to be kidnapped. And I'm thankful my gut sensed danger and told me to leave.
It was on August 6th. I came back home after work thinking of taking a long sleep during the weekend. As soon as I arrived home, I washed up quickly, lay down in bed, and slept right away. And the time was around 7 p.m. But when I opened my eyes for some reason, it was at 2 a.m. I was wondering why I woke up so early, since I usually fall asleep on weekends and no one can wake me up. However, I decided to drink water while I was up anyway. So I got out of my bed, went to the kitchen, and lay in bed to sleep again. Just then, it was something furry, I think, and it touched my back. No, it can't be. I used to lie on my side and sleep. I opened my eyes for a while because of the strange feeling, but soon I decided to just ignore it without much thought. However, that was not an illusion. I could feel someone kept touching my back. It seemed to be rough, and there was even something sticky about it. My heart dropped, and I slowly looked back. There was a man lying there. I was sweating like the cold sweat was coming out of all the holes in my body. I've never seen such an awful look in my life. I could see his hair turned all white. The skin all came off. His mouth and nose were all crushed, but I couldn't recognize his face. And he was staring at me, just like that. I opened my eyes, screaming, and then realized it was a dream. Because of sweating a lot, I got thirsty, so I went to the kitchen, drinking some water again. I lay down, thinking that that was the end of the nightmare. But it wasn't. I had to go through the same situation two more times. In the first dream, I also got up in surprise, but the second one was different. Somehow, I was courageous and eventually talked to the person. "Why are you doing this to me?" Then he beckoned me instead of answering, and it felt as if he were asking me to follow him. "If I follow you, you won't be in my dreams anymore?" He nodded and headed to the kitchen. So I followed him, and he pointed his finger to the refrigerator, and this time he pointed to a clear glass bottle when I opened it. He then opened his mouth and said for the first time, "I know you are thirsty. Drink it." It was just a dream. However, I was so scared that I couldn't reject it, so I ended up drinking the water in the bottle. After I finished drinking, he asked me to send him off and said that he would no longer come. Unwillingly, I opened the front door and went with him. Even though my house was an apartment, there were no elevators and stairs in my dream, and we went straight out to the yard. And it was weird that my whole body began to sweat while I was walking on the flatland while sending him off. I finally arrived at the front gate and tried to take a step forward to see him leaving, but I was clearly blocked by something, even though there was nothing in front of me. He kept beckoning, but it was no longer possible to move forward. Just then, I felt the water dripping on my head, and then I ended up waking up. As soon as I opened my eyes, my legs suddenly throbbed, and the moment I came to my senses, I was purely shocked. I was on the rooftop and kept bumping my thighs and knees on the railing that was blocking right in front of me to move forward. The rainwater woke me up, saving my life just before I was almost falling from the rooftop and killing myself. The rooftop door, which was supposed to be locked, was also open for some reason. Being terrified, I ran home without even thinking about using the elevator. I was out of breath after entering the house, so I opened the refrigerator again and started drinking water. Meanwhile, I suddenly remembered the glass bottle that he made me drink in my dream. So I checked what it was, and to my surprise, it was a whiskey which I used to drink when I couldn't sleep. And the bottle was definitely full until yesterday, but there was not a sip left. To sum up, I couldn't wake up because he made me drink that whiskey. And the reason I had a hard time walking when I sent him off was that I was actually walking toward the rooftop. If my body hadn't actually caught on the roof railing, I would have killed myself and said goodbye to the world. I knew that there were people who often had this experience out there, but I was really horrified when I literally experienced it myself.
I got a flower from a stranger and something was wrong. After I had entered the company, I joined a small group. It was a gathering where the office workers met once a week to read or do other things together. However, I was being shy, so I felt awkward after joining there for the first time. Then I met one person who joined the group for the first time that day, and he was a very sociable type. I became strangely close to him, and after that, I started to meet him at some other place beside the day of the small group, and we had a meal or drink sometimes. He would often give me some flowers, introducing himself as a florist who works at a flower shop. For your information, we weren't dating each other at that time. But one weird thing was that he always asked me for a small amount of money whenever he gave me the flowers. And it's always been a very small amount, like 1, 5, or 10 cents. When I asked him why, then he always answered like this. There's a superstition to all the florists. If they don't get paid for making a bouquet, they will become unhappy. I've often wondered, but I didn't know much about flowers and believed in superstitions like that, so I would take my coins from my wallet readily. I mean, it wasn't a lot of money, it was just a coin, not a big deal. One day I had to buy some flowers. Then I suddenly remembered a flower shop where he was working. Well, I better buy from someone I know since he said the flower shop is near here. However, I couldn't believe what I heard when I finally got there. He was not there, and the shopkeeper said that he doesn't even know about him. He was not working here. Suddenly, I felt uncomfortable. The bad feelings got worse, that I realized that he had always taken cash from me. So after I came back home, I searched the internet and went to the shaman with the flowers that he gave me. When I showed his picture on the cell phone and talked about him, she said, "I think he put his bad luck into the flowers and gave them to you. What he got money from you was that he had an intention that he's trying to do business with you. It's hard to just hand the bad luck over to someone who doesn't know. But it is said that the money in someone's wallet contains some of his or her luck. So if you receive it, you get someone's luck and it becomes like a deal. In other words, you bought his bad luck." She also told me that there was a lot of bad energy in both of my hands and my head, and actually, I had been having a lot of nightmares and suffering headaches at that time. She said to burn all the flowers in the house as soon as possible. "Bring me everything if you receive any from him." She also told like this, "And as soon as I came back home, I packed the flowers and a book that he had given me, went back to the shaman, and we decided to burn things together on the spot. While I was passing over the stuff, I suddenly found the part of the book was fixed with a tape. I slowly took it off and there was a dried grass flower in it. I got goosebumps in an instant. I didn't want to get involved with him anymore. So after returning from the shaman's house, I left the group and blocked his number. However, he somehow contacted me for the next 3 months. He would text me quiet, calmly, asking me when I would meet him, why I left the group, and even saying, "The weather is so nice and I will send flowers for you." I was so horrified by his attitude, so I changed the number after that, and there was no more contact from him afterward. Fortunately, I didn't have nightmares, and the headache disappeared as if nothing had happened before. And since that day, I never received anything from a stranger.
When I was around 8 years old, I transferred to another school in the middle of the summer. Because I was so young at that time, I was able to get along with my classmates quickly. One day, all the girls left the class for their prior engagements, and the boys asked me to join them to go somewhere, saying they had found something interesting. I followed them through the paddy fields behind the school, and there was a three-story house that had been deserted a long time ago. School finished early that day, so the sun was still up. The exterior of the house was not too scary, except for a broken window. Well, nothing here. Five of my friends and I went inside, and we saw the window broken on the stairs leading up to the second floor. I thought it was just an ordinary restaurant when I saw it from outside. But as soon as I went up to the second floor, I could say that it was definitely someone's house. But the weird thing was that the inside was so cold that it was almost freezing, although it was sunny and especially hot that day, and all the furniture was standing upside down. We then came into the main room, and one of my friends found a wallet on top of a pile of furniture. When he opened it up, there was a resident registration card and cash inside. I suddenly got goosebumps. So I asked him to put the wallet down and turn my eyes to the living room for a moment. And it was exactly that moment. It wasn't clearly visible, but there was a woman silhouette in a long dress dancing in the living room. She was jumping up and down, swinging her arms from side to side. And that was the creepiest scene I've ever seen before. We were the only people in this house. So being surprised, I looked at my friends and looked back into the living room again, and there was no one there anymore. Guys, I'm scared. We should leave. I told my friends, and they got scared too, so they followed right after me. The moment we got out of the main room, the door suddenly slammed shut. What was that? One of the friends tried to open the door, but it didn't open, as if it was locked. Just then, I realized the other one who had found the wallet was still holding it. We all screamed and ran downstairs. As soon as we were about to go home, someone began to make a fuss about that he'd left his shoe bag upstairs. We had no choice but to decide the people to go back inside by playing rock, paper, scissors. Eventually, I was the one who lost, so I had to go upstairs with him. But as soon as we went up, we couldn't say any words and couldn't believe what we just saw. The bedroom door was open. We couldn't even think of bringing back the shoe bag. We just had to run downstairs in a rush with a loud scream. The next day, I came back home after playing outside with my friends as usual. And that evening, I heard my friend who took the wallet was in a car accident on his way home by bicycle. Unfortunately, he was not seriously injured. However, I didn't feel good about it anyway. So a few days later, we ended up heading back to the deserted house to return the wallet. And there was something inside. I can tell you that there was literally nothing in the living room or on the second floor when we first went there. However, now there was a baby doll hanging on the light. I will never forget that experience my whole life.
True scary story about my teacher's memory. I want to talk about the incident that my art teacher experienced in person. When she was a high school student, there was a girl whose mother was a shaman, and there were a lot of rumors about her that she literally can see the ghosts. She would always space out and often had seizures while attending classes. So she eventually had no friends around her, and even the teachers didn't touch her or care for her. One day they went on a school trip. When they arrived at their room, everyone went outside, and my teacher was also playing around with her friends, leaving her alone in the room. few minutes later, my teacher suddenly heard the girl's shrill scream. She jumped back into the room in surprise, but other teachers and students were already standing in front of the door and blocking her sight. No one dared to enter the room. They just stood there in fear. My teacher, who was puzzled at that time, eventually pushed through the crowd and headed forward. And she could not believe what she was watching. The girl was standing upside down while foaming at the mouth and crying loudly. However, something was a little bit weird. She was not standing by herself. It was like someone had grabbed her both ankles and lifted them up. Her legs stretched straight and her face was pressed down on the floor. My teacher often says that she still remembered that day so vividly as what happened just yesterday. What was it that got that girl's ankle that day? Still, I have no idea.
When I was a kid, I visited my grandmother's house with my younger brother in the middle of summer. Like all the children, I was having a good time wandering around or playing in the valley. After the sun went down, I was talking to my grandmother while we were having dinner together, and she suddenly said like this, "Do not go out of this house late at night." Her face looked really serious. Her warning without a reason was weird to me at first. And it was a little scary for me, being a young child. But soon, I thought it was because the outside was too dark to go out and play. Because my grandmother's house was located in the countryside, we had to ride our bikes for almost 30 minutes to go to the nearest convenience store. And there was no street lamp on the road, so it was pitch black. After eating dinner, my brother and I went to bed. At about 1 a.m., my brother suddenly started whining that he wants ice cream. I recalled my grandmother's words not to go out at night. However, I suddenly wanted to have some ice cream too. I mean, what can I do? We ended up riding a bike together secretly and out to the town to get some ice cream. After finishing ice cream, we were on our way back home. We were riding our bikes on the road, chattering about Pokemon, which was popular at the time. Then all of a sudden, my brother told me like this, "Hey, the shortcut is over there." However, it was so dark around that I couldn't see the way that he pointed. And I don't know why, but I did not want to go that way. "Nah, let's just go back the way we came." As soon as I said that and looked forward, I could see my brother in front of me, who I thought was behind me. What the? The moment I realized sent a chill down my spine. Then who was it who's been talking behind me? It was that very moment that I remembered my grandmother's words. "Do not go out of this house late at night." Sweating like a pig, I pedaled vigorously on my bicycle as best I could and arrived at my grandma's house. I started to get off my bike in a hurry, and then I heard a sudden voice coming from my ear at that very moment. Too bad. I dragged my brother's wrist, went back to our room, and ended up staying all night covered in a blanket. The next day, we kept the fact that we went out at night yesterday under wraps while we were eating breakfast, and we took a bus to go back home. What the heck was that voice yesterday? Being curious, I started to look around carefully while I was sitting next to the window, and finally, the bus passed where I'd been yesterday. And at that very moment, I froze. It was a cliff. What would have happened if I headed for a shortcut because of the voice that I heard from behind on that day? Even now, whenever I visit my grandma's house, I still think about that moment and get goosebumps.
My mom passed away a year ago due to a kidney problem. She had suffered in pain a lot while she was sick, and she ended up dying at home in front of me and my grandparents. That moment was tragic, and it hurt me and my family a lot. Since her death, I've been having a lot of nightmares and problems with sleeping at night. And last week, I was in my bedroom, sleeping next to my cat, and I suddenly felt like I was being pushed on my bed, like someone was trying to suffocate me. I couldn't move or scream at all. Since it was totally dark inside, so I couldn't see who was doing that to me, I was so scared. Not long after, I don't know how, but I eventually managed to free myself. I took my cat and tried to rush towards my door, but for some reason, I couldn't open the door, although it wasn't locked up at all. I froze on the spot. I ended up kicking it roughly, and suddenly, it opened. When I was about to go out of my bedroom, I looked back at my bed and then saw a figure with a white bedsheet on top. You know, just like that ghost that appears on the movies in general. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, so I ran to my grandparents to tell them everything I saw, but only my grandma was there. She asked me, "Where's your grandpa anyway?" All of a sudden, we heard his voice. He was in the room that used to be my mom's, and to our surprise, he was speaking with somebody, like chatting and laughing with a person. And we could recognize the voice. It was my mom. However, instead of feeling happy to hear my mom's voice, it made me terrified. I don't know the reason. The next day, I was reminiscing about yesterday, and I remember that when we lived in another house that we believed was haunted, my mom used to joke with my grandfather. She would put a white sheet on her head to scare him just for fun, and that literally hit me at that moment. Then, who was it? Was my mom trying to suffocate me and kill me? Or maybe it was someone else? I'll never know forever. All I know is as soon as the quarantine is over, I will get some psychological help.
The early mannequin is said to have been made a pose using a real human corpse and then placed it in a plaster mold. Human flesh and blood contain the most ideal proportion of nutrients that humans need. In general, these foods taste very delicious. Animals have evolved to feel the most terrible smell of dead bodies, instead of the same taste, in order to prevent extinction through eating each other. So if you can't feel the smell, you will feel that human flesh is delicious. Meanwhile, the human sense of smell has been rapidly weakening over the past few hundred years due to deterioration caused by environmental pollution, disease, and a change in the way of survival competition. The human brain emits endorphins, one of the drug ingredients, in order to maintain control of the body when the pain reaches its limit, and to make people forget the pain and feel pleasure. It's a pretty famous story that a hanged person is smiling at the last minute. Meanwhile, research from the University of Maryland found that many people who fainted from extreme pain often take their own lives after being rescued. There's a small cave on the Scandinavian peninsula in Europe, and the cave runs endlessly. A guy went into the cave to find the end of the cave, but he went missing. And 4 years later, the man is said to have been contacted in Mexico. There was a strange statue called a crying Siddhagarbha Bodhisattva. Siddhagarbha Bodhisattva is a Buddha who protects hell in Buddhist terms. He usually looks peaceful, but sometimes he looks like a crying or troubled face in the evening. When it was crying, it rained the next day, and when it was in trouble, it snowed. On a day when nothing came down, the face of the statue was the same, so it was used to set up a schedule for the next day by watching it. One day, the statue had a bright smile that had never been seen before. It was August 4th, 1945, the day before the incident about the atomic bombing of Hiroshima. In 1998, a blueprint believed to be about 400 years old was discovered from a warehouse in a private residence in the UK. The blueprint, titled Automatic Calendar, had the dimensions of the bizarrely shaped part and the assembly strategies. When an engineer carried out the restoration of the device on the basis of its design, a machine displaying AD and a date was completed. But there was an odd flaw in this device. By the time had passed the year 2050, the tooth wheels did not engage with each other, and the device suddenly stopped displaying the date. There was a famous man in a restaurant called Milan in New York, who always suddenly appeared and told strange stories to customers that they had never heard of. When he was out of sight, the customers began to talk about that man. However, no one could remember his face and even the stories that they'd been hearing from him.
I am 19 years old and a high school student. I have a brother who is 17 years old now, and he often does creepy things recently. One day I was watching TV with my brother in the living room, and he suddenly started yelling. Shit, stop it. You think this is funny? It was kind of strange because my brother usually doesn't curse and get angry like that. What? What's wrong? I asked, and he replied, hey, go to your room and you can come out maybe 30 minutes later. What's wrong with you all of a sudden? Well, I'm not kidding. Go inside. Hurry. Being scared, I went into my room, lay down listening to an MP3 player, and fell asleep. The next morning, I was woken up by my parents. We have to go to the hospital right now. I asked what was going on, and it turns out that my parents found my brother was lying with bubbles in his mouth when they came back home after closing the store. They ended up taking him to the hospital, having a test, but there was nothing wrong with him, eventually. The doc said it was just a sudden case. I felt something really odd at this point. Why did he send me into the room so abruptly? There was once my brother had caught a bad cold, and after that he's been changed a little bit. And one day he was playing with his computer and suddenly came to my room saying like this, hey, are you feeling chilly? Before I asked my brother why, I kept getting goosebumps behind my neck. Don't know the reason yet. Then he continued, if you want to look behind, do not close your eyes, okay? Why? I don't know, just someone told me. Shrugging, he went out of the room again, and I thought he was a little bit weird. He was hospitalized for a few days and finally came back home. Why did you pass out that day anyway? His expression suddenly changed as soon as I asked about what happened that day, and what he said followed was just pure horror itself. Actually, I've been seeing strange things since I was in middle school. What do you mean? Do you remember that day when we were watching TV? I told you to go into your room? And the reason I told you like that was, I saw three women that day in the living room, holding their hands and kept spinning around you. I had goosebumps all of a sudden. But when you get up and about to enter the room, they started to follow you. He told me that he then continued to hit the floor with his palm to prevent them. Then they looked at my brother, smiling widely, and suddenly approached him. You know what they said to me when you went into your room? He was laughing, saying like this. What did they say? Wanna join? We are all thirsty. He said the reason the ghosts said they were thirsty was that they wanted the human's life. Anyway, he started to curse at them indiscriminately, but suddenly his body did not move. Then one of the women approached him. Her face had changed into a grotesque look, like exactly the same as a ghost in the movie, Ju-on, and she was smiling at him. In front of my frightened brother, she moved her face closer to him and started licking his face with her black tongue. He ended up passing out. That's what he told me. Even when he was in the hospital, he had the same nightmare, and he had sleep paralysis for a while. This incident is what my aunt experienced when she was a high school student. She went to school camping one day. You know, there is often a student who does not get along well with the classmate and plays alone in each class? And there was such one classmate in my aunt's class. Honestly, she was not an outcast, but always left out because she couldn't get along with his friends. This time again, she went around alone at the camping. My aunt was sharing a room with her. Not thinking much about her, the last night of the camping finally came. All the classmates were all sleeping in the room, and all of a sudden my aunt opened her eyes for no reason. The beds in the room were all bunk beds at that time, and as soon as my aunt, who was sleeping on the second floor, turned her head to the side, she saw her classmate looking down at her. Being surprised, she pushed her shoulder and said, "Hey, you surprised me. Why did you wake up?" Her body turned a full circle around. Then she looked at my aunt again without a word. And when she pushed her again, her body circled again. "What's wrong with you?" This time my aunt yelled, but she was just staring at her. The other friends woke up one by one at the sound of her yell. And as soon as one of them turned on the light, everyone in the room screamed. Her classmate eventually committed suicide by hanging herself from the ceiling. My aunt ended up fainting on the spot that day. 2. The guilt. Last summer, me and a few of my friends went to a valley together. While everyone was playing inside the valley, having fun, a girl who was a friend of my friend accidentally fell into the deep water. At first, I was about to go inside and save her, but the other boys stopped me. We couldn't dare to save her, so we just stood there watching her, and she eventually died there. In the panic of this situation, we all ended up deciding to cover it up. After that, we went back and told her parents that she eventually went missing while walking around that area alone. Everyone started pretending to ignore everything about her after that. I literally want to spread this accident, but this is the only place that I can talk about it. I feel massive guilty when I keep thinking about her. And as much as I think about that day, I want to just kill myself. And she's been appearing in my dreams recently. 3. My cousin. I think I can confess it because it's anonymous. When I was a child, I pushed my cousin just for fun. However, he ended up hurting his head severely, and later became a disabled person who even couldn't speak properly. Anyone in my family remembers knows that I did it because nobody was there at the time. It's just they didn't even notice, and no one thought I was the one who did it. But then he started to cry whenever he sees me. My mom and other relatives think it's just because he misses me, and I was the only person who played with him a lot and spent most of the time when we were young. However, there is one thing I have to tell you. I don't feel guilty. Never. I guess I have a problem with myself.
I used to work at one company for about a year before I entered the company I'm working at currently. Time I was living alone with my wife, although we both like kids, we weren't ready yet. Anyway, it was one night and I was heading home being drunk as usual after finishing a get-together. Passing through the front door of the apartment, I pressed the button to get on the elevator, and the elevator that was stopped on the third basement level began to climb slowly. Finally, the elevator arrived on the first floor, and I felt cold as soon as I walked inside. It was almost 12 o'clock, and my body was getting hot by the effects of alcohol, but I could definitely feel chilly inside the elevator. Well, I guess it's because the elevator stayed deep underground for a while, I thought, and then pressed the 16th floor button where I live. The elevator started moving slowly. However, it suddenly stopped on the 5th floor. Normally, the people in my apartment didn't take the elevator very often at the time, so I was standing in the middle of the elevator. As soon as the door opened, I stepped aside. But no one was standing there. I thought someone who was impatient must have pressed the button and then just went up to the emergency exit stairs. So I pressed the close button and the elevator stopped again on the 6th floor. And there's no one there either. When the elevator stopped on the 7th floor, I suddenly got angry. "Hey, stop!" I stuck my head out the door and shouted. But I didn't feel any human presence upstairs. A sudden shudder passed over me. But still, I thought it was someone's prank. The elevator then stopped again on the 8th floor while going up. But this time, there was a little girl standing in front of the door. She seemed like she was about 6 or 7 years old, but you know what was a strange thing about her? Despite the late hours, there was no one around her. Like parents, you know, someone like that. but this kid just stood there still without getting on. "Hey, kid, are you going to get in?" I asked, but she didn't answer. As soon as I felt chill somewhere, I soon pressed the close button of the elevator. Just as the door was closing halfway through, she pressed the open button again. The short kid standing on tiptoes opened the elevator door, so I told her again to get inside. However, she still stood there without answering. Just at that time, I thought this was the one who's been playing pranks on me, so I pointed my finger at the CCTV and yelled at her not to prank anymore. Then the girl staring at me slowly opened her mouth. "I'll get in when my mom comes," she answered in a small voice. But I couldn't see any shadow of people no matter how much I looked around. But somehow her voice seemed really dark and creepy. It wasn't a childlike voice at all. I pressed the close button again roughly, and fortunately the kid didn't press the open button this time. The elevator started going up again and didn't stop on the next floor. With a sigh of relief, I just wanted to get off and get home as soon as possible. It was at that very moment. I was on the 11th floor and the light suddenly started blinking. I was staring at the light with a nervous mind and something was strange with it. There was some spot on the light that was stained as if someone had dropped black ink. And to my surprise, it was getting bigger and bigger every time the light went on and off. It can't be. I'm imagining because I drank too much. I kept repeating it inside, but the stains grew bigger and bigger as if it was teasing me. Although I was sweating on my back, it was still chilly inside the elevator. And the moment I looked at the light and then looked straight front this time, I couldn't help but doubt my eyes. There, I could see a person's hand reflected on my back. Seriously? I was the only one in this elevator. After having confidence that there's an unknown thing that exists here, I was seized with extreme fear. The time to go up to the 16th floor was like an eternity. I couldn't hold my fear back. I eventually pressed the button to get off the 14th floor. I was about to pop out as soon as the door opened, but I had to stop suddenly. The girl I saw on the 8th floor was standing there, like she was waiting for me. I felt like my heart was sinking. Shivering, just as I was about to get off, she raised her head slowly. At that moment, I saw it. Unlike before, she was smiling brightly, as if her mouth was going to be ripped soon. "My mom is here now. I'm going to get in." Mom, what's she talking about? I'm sure the elevator was empty from the basement floor. Besides, not even a small rat was to be seen, let alone a human while I was inside. Then, who is it? I was strained to the limit, and my legs were trembling. I almost pushed the child and ran out of the elevator to the emergency stairs. For some reason, I was afraid that I'd never see my wife again if I stayed here. I was going up the stairs frantically. Just then, the sensor at the emergency exit started turning on much faster than my speed. It's like someone was already going up. I was about to go insane. When I finally reached the 16th floor, I flung the emergency door open and rushed out of. I turned. I tried to run toward my house, and then someone was standing in front of the house. The woman with incredibly long hair and the girl I saw at the elevator. They were there. How the heck did they know my house? I didn't know what was going on right now. But only one thing came to my mind for a moment. I must not go back home now. I barely managed to turn back and carefully twisted the emergency door again. And at that moment, my sweaty hand just slipped and the door clanked in the quiet hallway. The moment I looked into the hallway with a desire to cry, I suddenly heard a sound from the end of the hall. It was the sound of a woman's shoes and baby shoes. I pushed the emergency exit door. While I ran frantically downstairs, I could hear the shoe sounds behind me at regular intervals. Almost rolling over myself, I went down through the front door and then rushed into the lighted security office. However, the security guard was just patrolling his round at that time, so he was not there. I lifted my trembling body and looked at the front door through the small window in the front. And at that moment, I felt my legs weaken. A woman and a child didn't come out of the front door, but they were glaring at me fiercely, as if they were going to kill me. I was about to scream, but just then, the guard came into the office. He got surprised to see me trembling and asked me what was going on. I tried to explain by pointing my hand at the front door, but then I realized that there was no one. Eventually, the security guard came to my house with me. To my surprise, my wife, who thought she was asleep already, was waiting for me with the lights on. And what my wife told me was a surprise itself. She said that someone rang our doorbell when I was seeing the woman and kid in front of my house. My wife thought it was me out there, so she walked to the front door to open it. But then she felt something wasn't right, because whenever I came home late at night after dinner, I always acted more carefully instead of ringing the bell. So my wife turned on the intercom and looked out, but there was no one. And when she returned to her seat, the bell rang again, and the same situation repeated on and on. So this time she was looking closely at the screen when the moment the bell rang without putting down the phone, and there was the face of the woman who filled the screen to the full. At first, it's like someone was sticking her face on the screen intentionally. But when my wife looked closely, her face looked so pale as if it were dead already. She urgently turned on all the light right away and tried to call the administration office. However, the guard didn't answer because he was just on patrol and at that time. And I was running downstairs like crazy. When my wife saw the intercom screen again, it was already gone. The next day's morning, I went to the security office to check the elevator CCTV, and I couldn't keep my mouth closed for a while in a panic. On CCTV, I could see that I was waiting for the elevator on the first floor. I stepped inside. Nothing happened at first. However, I suddenly started to press the buttons from 5th to 8th floors as if I were possessed by something. There was literally no one on the 7th floor, but I screamed into the air, and when the door opened on the 8th floor, I murmured something and then pressed the door's button to open. I pointed at the CCTV and said something and then finally pressed the close button. Furthermore, I was gazing on the elevator lights for a while. Then I suddenly pressed the button on the 14th floor and ran out. So that means I was doing something really weird by myself. The CCTV on the front door also captured only me. No one came out. The guard laughed at me and my wife, saying that we saw imaginary things. But the feelings I felt at that moment were so real. It was so vivid. Who the heck were that woman and the child? Still, I have no idea.
First, so I'm here to post about a dream that I've been having as of lately. I've been having the same dream, and the story is very simple. I am on my laptop at my desk, and my older sister is writing in her diary in her bed, and an extremely tall guy keeps trying to enter our room. He was literally so big that his chest touched the threshold, and I couldn't see his upper shoulder at all. My sister and I knew that he wouldn't be able to come in anyway, so we didn't care about anything and did our own things. He bumped his body trying to come in, then finally gave up a while later and went back. And at that moment, I woke up. But recently, he keeps cutting his body little by little. By the third day, he hadn't been able to come in, but the day before yesterday, he was in front of the door, standing with his ankles. He cut off his foot. Of course, he couldn't come in either, and just yesterday, he cut off half of his calves. His shoulder was seen for the first time, but he has also kept bumping against the door, and this time was no different. What happens to me next if he cuts himself all the way to his knees? second, it's me again, and I came back to post my recent experience. 2 days later, my worries became a reality. I had a dream again that day, and this time he really cut himself to his knees. I'm not going to explain all the details, but all I could see was his abnormally big mouth, and he was smiling brightly. Then I woke up. I was too scared to go back to sleep after just seeing his face. After that, I gave up on sleeping for a couple of days. I drank all night with my friends, went to a handicraft workshop run by my mom. I was playing on my cell phone for a while, and napped for a while, lying down on my mom's lap when I felt too tired. Then I fell asleep, shallowly, on the sofa, and the man was there in my dream as usual. Fortunately, I was able to wake up right away because I didn't sleep deeply. However, being scared, I called my aunt, who was interested in spiritual existence at that time. When I confessed that I was having a hard time because of this, she told me that she knew a shaman and asked me to go there with her. No one believed such a thing because my family were all sincere Christians. My aunt was also a Christian, but she took me to the shaman saying that the method would be much better than just praying. Well, well, I guess these poor little lambs must have been desperate. That day, when I went to see the shaman, she said this to us just as I went inside. When my aunt asked what I should do next, the shaman said, "I'll give you an amulet. Put it on your door." Because we don't know if he was just joking around or doing it for a reason, we have to give it a few more days. Then she continued, "After I came back home with the amulet, I put it on my door without my parents knowing. I fell asleep in my room comfortably for the first time, and there was the man in my dream as I expected, but this time he wasn't standing, just sitting by the door and staring at me. I was inwardly admiring the effect of the amulets when I saw him like that. Just then, he began to imitate my dad's voice. Lord, please take care of my family and look after my lovely daughter as if they were your eyes. He said a prayer like that almost every day, and while laughing, the man just recited the exact same prayer with my dad. Tears flooded with fear, and whether he thought that it was funny to see me crying, he began to mimic the barking of my dog this time. It was just surprisingly the same. He would scratch the door and whine when I closed my door to study, and the man made the same sound, scratching his fingernails on the door. The next was the voice of my friend. The moment I heard his voice, I was so scared and creeped out. Eventually, I could wake up shortly afterwards while I was crying in my dream. I called my aunt right away, and we went back to the shaman again. And I think we have to raise our prayer to God and do some exorcism sooner or later. I have been awake since that day. Of course, I've been eating my meals normally, but I kept losing weight because of a lack of sleep. I was going crazy. I'm still terrified even when posting this right now. If anyone has experienced the same thing as me, please, please help me out.
My name is Mark, and this happened when I was 13 years old. It was a normal day in the morning, as usual. I was heading to school with some of my friends. We were just talking about several topics, such as school life or about the girls, you know. Then all of a sudden, I heard someone whispering. "Guys, did you hear that?" I asked, and one of my friends said, "Yeah, what the heck?" When I looked around, I realized that the voices were coming from the bushes, which were kind of far away from where we were standing. I ended up thinking that it might be some students who were trying to play pranks on somebody else. So we ignored them and walked toward the school. What a peaceful and boring day, I thought. Everything was going so normal until that incident. When we were in class, I suddenly heard another whisper under the window. I know that it was just a coincidence. Started to get a weird feeling thinking about the whispering from the bushes that I'd heard in the morning. However, I ignored it again, hoping it would be nothing. A few hours later, one of my friends got a stomach problem, so he had to go to the bathroom real badly. He got permission from the teacher and rushed to the bathroom in a hurry. However, he didn't come back for a long time, which was kind of weird. Maybe he fell into the toilet, another friend next to me chuckled. About 5 minutes later, the teacher told me to go check to see what was wrong with him. I went to the bathroom alone, and when I was about to go in, I quickly smelled a terrible stench. Smells like blood. It was apparent that something was wrong. But then, I was being careless to find out what it was. I took one step inside and asked, "Dude, is everything okay?" But there was no answer in the restroom. I slowly started to open each of the stall doors, and then I found him, all bloody in the last stall. And I realized that he didn't have one foot. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was about to throw up. I mean, he was unconscious. His face looked pale, so I ran to the teacher and explained the situation. He ran to the office counselor, and they immediately called the police and an ambulance. After they had arrived, they took my friend to the hospital, and everybody had to stay inside. We all had feelings of anxiety. The cops searched the restroom, and they finally determined the perpetrator to be a serial killer who was wanted at the time. Then something came across my mind. I ran to the police and explained to them about whispers that I had heard in the woods and under the window. The police immediately went into the woods, searched the whole area extensively, and found a hut. To our surprise, they found another four corpses inside. After that, they still couldn't find the murderer. And this incident has left everybody in our town shivering in fear. And my friend eventually lost his ankle, but his life was saved, though. I'm just glad that he was saved. And think about what would have happened to him if I hadn't gone to the bathroom to check on him.
I grew up in Bradford, Pennsylvania. Have any of you ever heard of Zippo-lighters? They're from here. A thick forest surrounds the town, along with most of the neighborhoods. My family lives sort of on the outskirts of Bradford. Of course, much like the town itself, our house was also surrounded by forest. If you took in the scene from our back porch, you would see nothing but sprawling trees for miles. I tell you this so you can gain a sense of isolation. Out at my house, you could scream at the top of your lungs, and no one would come to help you. This happened back in the summer of 1996. I was 11 years old at the time. I had a childhood friend named Marty, who was the same age. Our fathers worked together and knew each other well. He would come over almost every Friday to hang out. Marty and I found ourselves hiking through the trees, as we often did. However, we were feeling a bit daring, and went further into the forest than we usually did. There was this barrier of trees that we would never go past, simply because I didn't know the area beyond that point. We continued past the barrier into uncharted territory. We eventually came upon a clearing. In the middle of this clearing was an old, disheveled-looking tent. Being the curious young men we were, we, of course, had to see inside. As we approached, I could feel the temperature around me drop. I'm no stranger to the cold, but this was in the middle of summer. Even at my age, I could sense that there was something truly sinister inside this tent. A part of me was screaming to hightail it out of there, but my own curiosity pushed me forward. We both stopped just outside the tent, and suddenly, we were both too frightened to move any further. They were both frozen in place, staring at the open flap of the tent as it swayed from side to side. The sky seemed to grow even darker since we discovered this tent, and though we were standing directly in front of it, we could not see inside. What happened next is the reason that I still struggle with alcoholism. A dark hand slowly emerged from the tent's opening. It reached out to us, with long black nails protruding out from its fingertips. I'm not ashamed to admit that I pissed myself out of fear. The hand slowly turned and made a beckoning gesture with its index finger. And that's when Marty and I heard a deep, bellowing laughter from inside the tent. I don't remember much about what happened after that. I just remember me and Marty running for our lives, tearing through the woods and back to my house. I do have a vague memory of me briefly looking behind me as I ran, to see a tall, dark, and human figure standing just outside the tent. Upon returning, Marty immediately called his mom to come pick him up. My mother asked us what was wrong, and we both explained to her that we saw some kind of creature in the forest. My mother ultimately dismissed our claims, but led us in a prayer while we waited for Marty's mom to arrive. Marty never came back after that, and we sort of drifted apart. Sadly, Marty began hanging out with the wrong crowd and began doing hardcore drugs when he was around 14. He ended up hanging himself in his bedroom when he was 17. As for myself, I suffered from severe night terrors that tormented me for years after that day in the woods. I'm not going to get into what I experienced in my nightmares, but I will say that I became an alcoholic as a result. After moving far away and attending numerous AA meetings, I'm glad to say that I've turned my life around, and I even have a family of my own. I still visit Bradford every now and again to check in on my aging parents. Whenever I'm there, I always set flowers on Marty's grave. I'm still convinced that what we saw that day in the woods contributed to his death. Now that I have some perspective, I think what Marty and I encountered was a demonic presence. It followed us home and proceeded to turn both of our lives upside down. There were rumors of people worshiping Satan out there in those woods around the mid to late 90s. Perhaps they awakened something, and Marty and I just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
This is a story that my friend actually experienced. My friend had a habit of sleeping with both arms stretching over his head as if he were doing a hurrah. One day, he was sleeping in that same position as usual. However, suddenly, he couldn't move his body. There was a big window by his bedside, and because it was summer, he was sleeping with the windows wide open. All of a sudden, he could see a woman through the window. Her face looked kind of weird, as if she wasn't a human at all. The woman with a creepy face pulled my friend's arm violently. At that moment, he saw her mouth had almost ripped up to her ears. She gave the most horrifying loud laugh when she pulled his arm, and my friend, who was struggling, was soon released from his sleep paralysis. When I came to my senses, there was a thick bruise on both of my arms, with handprints, he said. I live in the countryside, and there was a pretty famous reservoir in our area. One evening, one of my father's friends drove me home in a car, and we were just passing through that area. All of a sudden, a woman softly walking into the reservoir caught my eye. I couldn't see her face, but she had black clothing covering it, and she just went into the reservoir in the blink of an eye. My dad's friend next to me also saw the figure, and at that moment, neither of us could say anything. Then he stepped on the gas like a crazy man. After arriving home, he made sure I went inside the house and even said to me to not forget to check the door before I go to bed. Not long after, the broadcasting authorities came to the reservoir with some famous celebrities to shoot some kind of TV program. And seeing those celebrities falling into the reservoir somehow made me sick. I have no idea if the person I had seen that day was a person or a ghost. But after that, there are always 4 people who die there every year. When I was young, there was an accident where one of my older sister's classmates slipped on ice while playing and died of a concussion. Her friend's name was Billy. A few years later, my mom suddenly brought up the story about Billy to my sister while we were staying at home. "Hey, do you guys remember the kid who died of a concussion? Your friend, Billy?" Then I heard someone abruptly knocking on our front door. The apartment where I lived had a hallway with several houses side by side. But the hallway was kind of old, so the sound of people walking around outside seemed very loud. Furthermore, there wasn't a sign of anyone that day, but someone had just knocked on my door. My mom, my sister, and I stood at the back without saying anything to each other, thinking something was wrong. The constant knocking continued, and my mom finally answered, "Who is it?" Then someone from outside said, "Is Billy here? Is Billy here? Is Billy here?" It was a woman, and she asked these three same questions in a very dry voice. "No, he's not here." When my mom said it like this, it became quiet outside. And when I looked through the peephole, she was already gone. I couldn't even hear the sound of footsteps. To this day, I still wonder who she was.
I am an immigrant from Belarus. English is not my first language, so I apologize if I phrase things differently. Here's some backstory. I was only 11 when my family left the country after the collapse of the Soviet Union. My father was involved with the Communist Party and would frequently visit Moscow when I was a boy. I don't know all the details. I don't even know what exactly my father's role was in the USSR, but from what I understand, we were granted asylum in the United States and had to flee Belarus in 1991. But that's not really why I'm writing this story. This is about something I saw in my childhood that has scarred me for life. This took place roughly a year before we left, so I'm guessing the year was 1990. My family, like many others, lived in a massive apartment building in Minsk. There were two other identical apartment buildings adjacent to ours, and directly behind the buildings was a playground area where I would play with my friends Sasha and Victor. Beyond the playground was a section of trees that separated a shopping plaza from the apartment grounds. I remember that my mother was feeling ill and was bedridden, and my father was away on business in Moscow, so I was pretty much on my own that night. I remember that I had gotten bored watching TV in the living room and decided to go outside and see if any of my friends were at the playground. I would say this was around 8 p.m., and it was dark out. By then, most of the children were inside, and I don't even think anyone was allowed on the playground at that time, but I didn't care. There was no one around to tell me to go back inside, and I was pretty excited to have the playground all to myself. It was chilly out that night, but it was not snowing, so I figured that I would play on the slides and swing set until I either got bored or if security came along and told me to go back inside. So there I was, just swinging in the dark, when I heard something near the fence that separated the trees from the playground. It was a strange noise, like someone was sawing wood, but there was something just off about it. I ignored the sound, but it became louder as time passed, to the point where I became curious as to what was causing this strange noise. There were no lights at the playground itself, but there were lights mounted to the back of the apartment buildings that illuminated things just enough to where you could see your surroundings. But the trees beyond the fence were pitch black. I got off the swing set and approached the edge of the playground. The sound continued getting louder, even as I got up right to the fence. It wasn't until I let out a curious, "Hello?" that the noise ceased. I stood there staring into the dark trees, waiting for a response, but all remained silent. After about another minute passed, I innocently asked, "Why are you chopping down trees in the dark?" I then heard a shuffling from within the trees, and soon, I saw a dark figure come into view, but did not step out from the tree line. What happened next is something that still makes me want to vomit out my insides. The dark figure then threw something. The object flew over the fence and hit me directly in the chest. I was knocked backwards, more out of surprise than the actual force of the impact.
"Hey, why'd you do that?"
I shouted. But before I could get another word out, I caught a glimpse of what had been thrown at me. A severed human arm was lying on the ground in front of me. I screamed at the top of my lungs and ran back towards the apartments, bawling my eyes out. I stormed into our apartment and sat on the living room couch to collect myself. I did think about waking my sick mother and telling her about what happened, but decided against it. To give you some perspective, my mother grew up in Siberia, and she could be quite ruthless at times. Not only would she not be too happy about being woken up, but she most likely wouldn't believe my story. And I probably wouldn't be able to sit down for a week if she found out I left the apartment alone after dark. So I kept this incident to myself. As a child, I understood that what happened was scary, but I had no grasp of the implications. I thought there was a monster in the woods who ate people who came out after dark. Now that I'm an adult, there are some things that I've come to realize. For our remaining time in Belarus, I never saw or heard any kind of investigation regarding a missing person or a mutilated body being discovered, which is nothing out of the ordinary living in Soviet society. The monster in the woods, hiding in the trees that night, was most likely a sadistic madman, dismembering a human body with a hacksaw. There is one more thing that I should mention. For the rest of the time that we lived there, I cannot for the life of me recall ever seeing my friend Sasha again after that night.
Last year, I had a classmate who didn't like to socialize. I was the only one who spoke to her. One day, she messaged me an article about cat abuse, knowing that I had a cat. I replied to her, saying, "Wow, that's literally insane." She then started pretending she was close to me and continued to send articles about cat abuse or pictures of dead, such as road-killed cats. Feeling uncomfortable, I slowly began to avoid her. And one day, I suddenly felt like she took a picture of me. While she left her seat, I decided to secretly check her cell phone. Surprisingly, the phone was not locked, so I could easily enter her photo gallery. And then, what I saw was horribly shocking. There were over 80 photos of me that I didn't even know she took. I got goosebumps when I saw the folder's name. It had my name. And there was one more folder, Cat, which contained pictures of dead bodies and the several articles that my friend had sent me. This story is about my friend's sister. The friend's family was living in a large apartment complex. One day, his sister went out. And this incident happened at that moment. Her ex-boyfriend, who was waiting for her, hit her on the head with a piece of sidewalk block and just killed her. The security ran towards them in surprise, but he ran away, went up to the roof of another apartment complex, and killed himself on the spot. After that, there were two memorial altars set up for both the woman and the man. And ironically, they were located right next to each other. And meanwhile, the bereaved family of the man insisted on this. They told my friend's family, "Let's join their souls in marriage." My friend's parents panicked, so they eventually fought with the bereaved family of the man, cursing at them. He told me later that everyone in the memorial altar went crazy that day. One of my teachers told us about a dream she had. She had a dream about 3 or 4 years after her grandfather passed away. In her dream, it was raining hard, and her grandfather, who completely got wet, tried to pass his socks to my teacher. Even though she loved him very much, she kept refusing because she didn't want to receive them for some reason. Then suddenly, the view abruptly changed, and my teacher was in the car. She was driving through a very big tunnel. At some point, she started dozing off, pressed on the brakes, and then woke up. She thought it was just a strange dream at first. Another day, she was driving in a car with her husband. She usually doesn't sleep when she's in the car, but she started dozing off in the front passenger seat on that day. When she woke up, she found that the place they were passing through was the same big tunnel she saw in her dream, and her husband was falling asleep next to her as well. Being startled, she immediately woke her husband up, and they returned home safely. She suddenly remembered her dream, so she visited an expert to get any advice on dream interpretation. And the story goes like this. When you receive an item from a person who passed away, then you will die. Anyway, my teacher soon forgot about it for several years, until 7 years had passed. That day was the day they were going to change the place of her grandfather's grave, and the moment when they opened his coffin, they could see his wet body was floating in water. The strange thing was that the flesh had not yet rotted. She could see that the body had a bit of volume. She ended up thinking that her grandfather, who had been standing in the rain in a dream, might have wanted her to know of his current condition. However, this wasn't the only surprise. It turned out that it wasn't only her. Other relatives had the same dream. This isn't a scary story, but I've been the clumsy type ever since I was a child, so accidents used to happen a lot. And once I almost died. I was the girl who really loved animals, so without thinking, I walked onto a road where cars were moving crazy fast. I didn't put much thought into the things I did when I was a child. However, as soon as I stepped in, I heard several voices coming from behind me.
Watch out!
Surprised, I fell backward and fortunately wasn't on the road. But when I looked back, there was no one behind me. My big brother was there, and with a tearful voice he said, "Hey, what if you got hurt? You shouldn't let go of my hand." My brother came out of the store and ran towards me right away. So that must mean that my brother was the only one who called out to me at that moment. However, I then heard dozens of people calling out to me, yelling, "Watch out!" Not long ago, the movie theater I was at was crowded with people when the movie Parasite came out. Maybe it was because that film just won a big prize, called the Palme d'Or. There were a lot of people in the theater, even though it was daytime on a weekday. So I entered the theater a little late that day, and the other people had already sat down in their seats. The seat I picked at that time was somewhere in the middle, probably the 8th row from the center of the screen in the front. Anyway, after the movie began, all I could hear was someone's breathing next to me. I was watching it in a relatively quiet atmosphere, as this movie was for adults, but suddenly, something strange under the screen caught my eye. The space between the front of the screen and the first row of seats is usually carpeted and empty. And there, I had no idea whether it was a woman or a man, but the person with disheveled hair was crawling on the floor on all fours. He was wriggling on the floor, attaching his stomach. At that moment, I thought that someone might have fallen there or was hurt at first. So I looked around with anxiety, but to my surprise, none of those people showed any response. What is it? Is he drunk? Is that why they're ignoring him? I could see that no one around me reacted, so I was also unable to move. And in the middle of the movie, there was a scene where one of the family members broke into the house after another family had left, and they started to drink alcohol and eat food in the living room. The sound of rain was so vivid, and all of a sudden, that unknown thing suddenly raised its head straight up in the air. He had been dragging his whole body to the floor until a moment ago. However, he then stood, waist up, straightened his chest, and started to look around the seats like crazy. I don't know if he saw me or just around me, but he turned his head towards where I was sitting. At that moment, me and that thing were looking at each other. Because of its messy hair, its eyes were blinded, and I could only see around its nose and mouth. As soon as I saw it, a thought suddenly came to my mind. Is that a human? Feeling uncomfortable, I intentionally turned my eyes towards the screen to avoid it. And this time, it looked up with its face and started to stare at the audience from under the center of the screen. On the wall, under the screen, it was now completely standing straight with its upper body visible and looking right this way. I couldn't see his face well because of his hair, but soon after, it was finally shown, reflected by the light coming out of the projector. Only then did I begin to see a little bit of the middle of its face. And it was laughing, almost tearing its mouth, and its eyes were abnormally big and wide. I almost screamed for the first time. Its face was so gross that I almost threw up at that moment. So I picked up my bag quickly and started running down the stairs, thinking I should leave the cinema as soon as possible. I looked towards the screen as I went down the stairs, and it was staring at me, turning its head slightly. The movie theaters usually have different locations between the entrance and the exit. I guess they locked the exit, which was close to the seats until the end of the movie. No matter how hard I tried, it didn't open. Even though it was such a crowded place, it was like I was trapped. I could have come out through the entrance, but I was not in my right mind at that moment. But just then, I knew instinctively that something was wrong. It was approaching my back. What should I do now? I then turned around with my eyes closed and ran frantically from the exit to the opposite entrance. Fortunately, the entrance door was open. When I came out, I could see the audience waiting and the part-timers in front of me. And as soon as I came out the main street from the theater, the creepy sensation quickly disappeared. However, whenever I saw videos relating to parasites on TV or the internet, its smiling face under the screen of the theater came up in my mind and distressed me, and I eventually couldn't watch that movie at all after that. When I was in elementary school, I had a friend who lived right next door. We used to go to school together all the time. One day, I was standing in front of my friend's house waiting for her as usual, and I realized that she was kind of strange when she came out. She looked kind of bemused. When I looked more closely, she was breaking out in a cold sweat. Feeling something strange, I asked my friend what was going on, and she started telling me a story about her dream. She started to dream the same dream she had from long ago. A kind-looking old lady always comes out in her dreams, and she cooks meals for her and then she eats it all. My friend had a lot of conversations with her because she gave her such a good impression. The most amazing thing was when she woke up. She felt full, as if she had actually eaten, even though it was just a dream. My friend lived alone with her maternal grandmother at the time, but on another day when my friend was about to go to school, she repeatedly requested one thing from her with a scary face. Do not follow the stranger or anyone today, okay? Do not. My friend was confused for a moment, but reassured her grandmother, telling her not to worry, and then went to school. However, nothing happened all day. And that night, she fell asleep, and the old lady appeared in her dream as usual, and made her a meal. She was enjoying her meal, and all of a sudden, the old lady asked my friend to go somewhere with her. She held the old lady's hand, and tried to follow her, thoughtlessly. However, she then remembered what her grandmother said to her in the morning, so she let go of her hand and refused to go. Then she saw her face turn scary at that moment. The old lady suddenly grabbed the back of my friend's neck and began to drag her somewhere, and no matter how hard she tried to escape, she wouldn't budge at all. While she was trembling with fear, she then remembered the other thing that her grandmother had told her in the morning. If you're dragged by someone in your dreams, don't panic. Just slam your head against somewhere, like a wall or a pillar. Then you will wake up from your dream. Understand? My friend, who remembered the advice, saw a tree in front of her and tried to hit her head, but suddenly, the old lady laughed as she pulled my friend's head. Who taught you this? Oh, I see. Your grandmother did. So she failed to wake up and was being dragged away from her dream. And the old lady's cane suddenly caught her eye. At that moment, she bumped her head with all her strength on the stick and then finally woke up from her dream. I got goosebumps listening to my friend, since it was early in the morning. Anyway, my friend, who had been absent-minded all day, started skipping school the following day. I was worried about her, so I went to her house. But the door didn't open, and she didn't answer the phone. A month later, my friend called me, and she asked me to come over to her house. With curiosity, I ran to her house. And when I saw her again, she looked emaciated, and the atmosphere around her was quite different. Most of all, she kept laughing to herself like crazy. She dragged me into the house, took me to a room, and said this, "Hey, you see my granny? She's crazy." Then she began to giggle more, and I unconsciously turned my eyes to the room. Her grandmother, looking into the air continuously, was begging desperately in a small, tiny room without a beam of light. Her face seemed afraid of something, and she kept muttering the same words. "I didn't teach her. That was not me. Please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Later, I heard that her grandmother had passed away shortly after, and my friend has been hospitalized because of the shock. Come to think of it now, wasn't the food she always ate in her dreams a meal for her grandmother, who would die soon?
About 10 years ago, my family had a studio rental business in a big city. Our studio had the most thorough security system at that time. So as a result, our studio became the best place for those parents who ever wanted to send their daughter from the rural area to the city. Even though the rent price was highly expensive, our studio was always traded, and because of that, the gender ratio of women was far higher. At that time, there was a woman who had moved into our studio for about 3 months. She was the kind of annoying type that she requested changing the automatic door lock's password several times a month. There was a manual in the room that helps you to change the password for oneself, but she kept asking us to do it every time, saying that it was complicated. We felt like she was the type who was going to fuss about our studio someday, so we always did her favor whenever she asked. But one day, she started saying something strange. She said that someone seemed to be coming inside of her room when she wasn't there. Of course, we have a master card to enter every room, but I swear, we are not those ignorant types of owners who come in and go out of any room. Except for sometimes when people who leave their rooms without telling us they had changed the password, or when we had to do an electrical inspection for the empty rooms, asking for prior consent already. But she seemed to doubt me, because I was the one who guarded the studio during my university vacation. Anyway, my parents sent her back to her room kindly, saying that she might be mistaken at first. Then the other day, she came up angrily this time. She said that she put a piece of paper in the crack of the door and folded the edge of the bed's blanket slightly when she went out. However, when she came back again, then she found that the paper was fallen on the ground and the blanket was all spread out. Cursing me tremendously, she had already believed 100% that I was certainly the criminal. At the time, I was ordering food and in a good mood after cleaning the roof in a heavy sweat. And this woman's behavior slowly pissed me off, And even my parents seemed to be suspicious of me at this point. But I couldn't confirm what was happening on each floor because there was only one CCTV in the front door and another one in the parking lot at that time. No matter how I felt the unfairness, I couldn't just install all the CCTV using a huge sum of money to capture the evidence of the woman who has such a megalomania and mythomania. So I put a digital camera that had very low resolution at that time in a beverage box and put it in a hallway where she was living. I had to go down every 2 hours and empty the memory. And I finally ended up thinking that I wouldn't be able to do this anymore after about 3 days. On the fourth day, the incident happened. That day, the police knocked on our door first. Following them, when I looked inside the woman's room, I could see the pearl-like eyeshadow was spread on every side of the walls. It turned out that the woman had coated the doorknob with cosmetics when she went down to her hometown for a few days, hoping the criminal to leave a trace when he broke into her room. But as if he were mocking her, the criminal had put those pearl shadows all over the walls, ceilings, and even floors of the room. So the police came to my room after receiving the woman's report. They started to investigate whether they could find any traces of pearl shadow on my keyboard, mouse, drawer handle, faucet, and even the toilet watering lever. But it was nonsense. I was just eating delivery food without knowing anything. The wash basin in the woman's room, which had been empty for 4 days, was completely wet, as if someone had just finished taking a shower, and I could see the soap was expanded. I was eventually called to the police station as a witness for questioning. When I finally got back home, I brought my camera that I had installed before to see what was on it, just in case. And then, something strange was caught in the camera. On the second night, around 11 p.m., the woman's boyfriend was filmed entering that empty room. He wasn't in the video for the third day, and of course I couldn't film it for the fourth day. It was a suspicious thing. In the end, I went to the police station again with my camera and submitted it. The whole story of the incident that was revealed later was like this. It was her boyfriend who made her terrorized and tremble in an attempt to bring her into his studio. While she went to college, he kept sneaking into her room and left those suspicious traces for a month. Then, as his girlfriend noticed the strangeness, she told him what had happened, and he kept telling her about the cruel and scary murdering cases that occurred in a studio apartment. Later, he suggested to her that she could sleep in his house if she was scared. His final goal was cohabitating with the woman, and the climax happened on that day. After hearing that she had set up a trap at the door, he entered her room and rubbed the pearl shadows on the whole room more than she did. Of course, the sink, the blanket, and the paper between the doors, everything was all by him. He thought that if his girlfriend felt extreme fear, she would end up living with him. What was even more creepy was that when the police came to our studio that day, he was comforting his girlfriend calmly, hugging her in his arms. The more she got afraid, the more courteously that bastard consoled her and kept thinking about how he could make her scared on the other hand. In the end, the man was accused by the woman and her family, and the woman took time off from school due to the huge shock. There's something I want to confess about. So I'm going to write it down on this anonymous site. I'd like to talk about one thing I really, really did wrong. When I was in elementary school, I had to ride my bike to school because there was some distance from my house to my school. My house was located in a back alley. And one day on my way home, I was riding my bike around the curve and I couldn't slow down. So I ran over an old lady. She collapsed, passing out, and I rushed back to my house being terrified. She was a very kind person in my town. She was close to my family and people in the neighborhood, so she always greeted me kindly whenever she saw me. Back then, the CCTVs weren't installed around on the streets, so no matter what happened in the alley, there was no way to find out who did it. And the next day, A handwritten poster was attached to the alley wall. "We're finding a witness. My grandmother had an accident. We don't want to believe it, but if the criminal is one of our neighbors, please confess. We don't want strong punishment either. We just want to resolve the injustice." It was written something like this. She returned home shortly after being treated for a concussion, and after that, her health began to deteriorate rapidly, because she was quite an old lady. I was afraid that I'd be revealed that I did it, but she didn't seem to remember the incident. Or was she just pretending that she couldn't remember? Anyway, she was always spending time in the same place, enjoying the wind or the sun, and I had to avoid that place where she was. I shouldn't say it like this, but fortunately, I wasn't caught. As time went by, my guilt gradually became dull, and I was living without much thought of it. When I was in high school, she had dementia. And one other day, I was passing by the alley, and I met the old lady again. I greeted her unconsciously. I'm not sure if she had a clear mind or not, but anyway, she smiled at me and said like this, "Oh, hello. So you don't ride your bike anymore?" The cold sweat soaked my back in a brief moment. Without answering, I just ran away, and time passed. The old lady passed away after I became an adult, and there's still the guilt in the corner of my heart. Since I can't tell this story to anyone, I hope you guys understand me using the power of anonymity to write it here. I know, I'm just the most terrible trash in the world.
My family is a small farm here in Kirkwood, upstate New York. We grow a few veggies, keep a few chickens, nothing too spectacular. But it's home and we love it. But a little while ago, back in early 2019, we got woken up by something in the middle of the night that scared the absolute life out of us. We have this big front yard with flower beds and a big lawn, and that's where we keep the chickens and the dog, too. So me, my mom, and my dad were all sleeping one night, and we were woken up by this huge crash in the front yard. I can hear our dog barking really, really loud and violently before there's like this yelping sound from it, and he goes quiet. I walk out into the hallway and see my dad storming out of my parents' bedroom, rushing down the stairs to get his shotgun. Me and my mom were about to follow him outside to get a look at whatever was going on, but he yells at us to call the cops, stay inside, and not follow him under any circumstances. My dad grabs the phone and I rush back into my bedroom to watch from the window. As soon as I look out, I see this car that's smashed through the fence of our yard and torn up a section of our lawn. It's obviously really dark out, and the car's headlights are only lighting up a section of our yard, so I can't really see much outside of the beams. But I do see something that absolutely breaks my heart. It's our dog, lying on the front lawn, not moving at all. He looked really hurt. Something had really, really messed him up. But given that he was barking after the actual smash of the car, it couldn't have been the impact that hurt him so bad. Something else entirely. What I saw next was only because my dad had this little light attached to the end of his shotgun. He starts shining it around the front yard as I hear my mom calling 911 in the hallway, telling them that something horrible had happened at our address, and for them to come as quickly as they could. Then my dad shines the shotgun light over towards the chicken coop, and I saw something that I continue to see in my nightmares for a long time to come. It was a man, completely naked from head to toe, kneeling among torn-out feathers and broken bodies, and he was sinking his teeth into the flesh of a still-living chicken that he held tight in his grip. Every time he bit into the chicken, it would flap and shake, making the most awful screeching noises as he tore more raw flesh from its body. My dad racked a shell into the chamber and started screaming at the guy to get out of the chicken coop. But the guy barely listens at first, just carries on ripping this big brown chicken apart with his bare hands and teeth. And by the time he does actually start listening to my dad, God, it was horrible. He looked right into the light of the shotgun so that his face was perfectly lit up, and he smiled. There was blood and feathers all over his face and chin. He looked monstrous, totally insane, eyes bulging out of their sockets. I think even to this day, it's probably the most terrifying thing I'd ever seen. I started banging on the window and begging my dad to come back inside. I was so scared the guy was going to attack him or something, and if he did, that Dad would shoot him. And I know it's maybe a little lame of me, but I just didn't want to see any of that. I was already distraught from seeing our dog just lying there all lifeless on the lawn, and I know I wouldn't be able to handle it if anything had happened to my dad. Luckily, the guy didn't bother doing anything to my dad at first. I think he was just so blinded by the light of the shotgun that he just sort of stared into the flashlight, hypnotized by it for a few seconds. But he soon rose up off of his knees, that bloody, twitching chicken still in his grip, and started to make a move towards my dad. As soon as he did, the sound of Dad's shotgun rang out as he fired a shot above the guy's head. But the guy hardly flinched. That's when I realized he must have been on some kind of drug or something, maybe meth or PCP or whatever. He didn't seem scared at all by the fact that he'd almost had his head blown off, but it was definitely enough to put him off from straight up attacking my dad. He just carried on smiling though, kneeling back down among the chickens as he carried on ripping them apart. It felt like an hour before I finally saw the red and blue flashing lights of the cop cars coming down the road. But from what I learned later, it was only a couple of minutes before they actually arrived, since they happened to have a unit in the area already down highway patrol. When they arrested the guy, he got really, really crazy, and they had to actually use their tasers, which had little effect at first, and pepper spray on the guy just to get him on the ground. We later found out that the guy, named John Menny, was actually from Florida, that there had been a manhunt for him, and he'd somehow gotten all the way up to New York State using stolen cars and hiding himself away in trucks. We weren't the only place he'd attacked either, since he actually killed another dog on a different farm, maybe less than 2 miles away from us. That was definitely the most terrifying thing I'd ever woken up to in the middle of the night, by a long shot too. Thankfully, our dog survived.
This story took place months ago. I had a friend. Let me just call his name as Cheese while I'm telling this story. So whenever Cheese and I got bored in those days, we usually went to the forest to discover new routes and places near our houses. Sometimes we reached a gated property and we entered the property through the forest. It was so much fun to see that the security guard didn't know that we were coming in and going out. However, this incident changed everything, and we never went to another place since that day. One day it was kind of late on that day, and we were riding our bike as usual. The sky got darker and darker, and we passed through the forest, bushes, and unpaved roads. The forest was so thick that we could hardly see any source of light. Thanks to my mom, she had told me to take my phone with me, and I could move forward, turning on the flashlight. Then, all of a sudden, we heard a rustling noise in the bushes. We stopped and both turned our eyes to it. Cheese stared at me with shivering eyes and said, "Hey, why don't we just go back?" I don't know what gave me the courage to say, "But we're almost halfway, I guess. Let's go forward." So we began to move again, riding our bike. But Cheese suddenly stopped, and I could see the frightened look on his face. I also stopped at the spot and looked where his eyes were headed. Something was in front of us. My mouth was wide open when I saw an old man standing alone and muttering something. We couldn't hear anything, but we could read his lip movements in the bright light of the fire he set around. Then Cheese pointed his finger at something. I noticed that something was wrong. There were someone's skulls forming a circle around him. You can't imagine how I got terrified at that time. It was impossible for us to run away because the old man was blocking our way. He slowly turned his body toward us and said something like this.
"We need some more sacrifice."
Then he pulled out his pocket knife and ran toward us. I knew I had to think fast. Screaming, I took my helmet off and threw it at his face. And Cheese grabbed a big stone on the road and threw it at him at the same time. He dodged my helmet, but fortunately the stone got him accurately. He hit his head hard by the stone and fell down on the road. And we turned our cycles back and drove off as fast as we could without looking back. The next day we checked that same place, but neither the man nor the circle of skulls remained. We've kept this story secret, but to this day I always think of the same thing. What would have happened to me if Cheese hadn't thrown that stone at the old man? Who was he? And what was he doing? I have no idea.
When I was 9, I was staying home alone. It was early morning, and I had just gotten out of the shower and brushed my teeth. I put on my favorite outfit, set up a little area in the living room with a drink and a snack, and then turned on the TV to watch something. The phone rang. I went across the house to go answer it. The voice on the other end was, well, really familiar and really comforting for me. He asked me about my day so far, and he made small talk. After about a minute or so, he then said,
"I like your outfit. Is pink your favorite color?"
I replied back with, "Oh, thank you. No, it isn't."
"What were you planning on watching on TV?"
he asked. It took me a few seconds to understand what was happening, as I was only 9 years old and very naive. The voice on the other end of the phone then changed. It became deep and raspy and horrific. The voice then proceeded to describe all these horrible things that they wanted to do to me, and in detail. I went numb. My skin felt as if it were on fire, and my heart was racing. I had never been more terrified in my entire life. I slammed down the phone, and then I called my mom at work. I tried to explain what happened, and I'm not sure I was making much sense. She got on to me for answering the phone, and she told me to go back about my day. I remember trying to explain to her that he was watching me, and that he told me what I had been doing, and that he knew what I was wearing. I also mentioned that I was going to call 911 because I needed help.
"That isn't necessary. I'm not coming home. Just don't answer the phone and go watch TV," she said, and then I hung up.
I was really confused and I was scared. I could feel his eyes on me. I pulled the curtains closed and I raced around the house, torn between doing what I felt was right and doing what I had been told by my mother. This whole time, the phone was ringing. The second it would stop, it would just start up yet again. The sound of the phone ringing would pulse through my entire body like electricity. It was practically paralyzing me. It was like I was frozen but also on fire at the same time. I waited for a pause in the ringing and called 911.
"I'm home by myself and I'm 9 years old and someone's watching me and telling me they're gonna kill me,"
I told the operator. She tried to keep me calm and she said that she would send help for me. I remember standing there listening to this kind voice just trying to help me, but I could feel every scary movie scenario just playing out behind me. Was he creeping up behind me with a knife? Was he going to shoot me through a window? Was he going to throw a rock through the glass and open the door? I just didn't know. I couldn't breathe and I couldn't feel my body. In a moment of panic, I set off the alarm to the house and ran outside. I remember this sense of relief, but also this overwhelming feeling of having a separation in my reality. The house felt small and dark and really dangerous and cold. Outside felt open, as well as safe and warm. I could hear lawnmowers and the sounds of birds chirping. It was a beautiful break from that bone-chilling feeling of the phone. It was like I was watching a movie and I could see myself experience both of these environments at the same time. A neighbor was pushing his child in a swing. He was concerned. He let me stand next to him and he protected me. I could hear the sirens now, the blaring sound getting louder as they grew closer. It felt like it took an eternity, but the police finally arrived. An officer walked over to me and he asked me what happened. I did my best to explain it, but so many of the words on the phone that were used were just so embarrassing. I couldn't bring myself to use such adult words to a police officer. And his other words were just bone-chilling. I couldn't say those either. To this day, I can still hear my young voice repeating the words. "He was watching me. He said he was going to kill me." Not long after, my mom's car pulled into the driveway. She, for some reason, decided to come home. She didn't look for me or come to speak to me. She just calmly got out and then walked over to the police officer. I was standing in the doorway from the house to the garage just facing the driveway. I could see my mom and the police officer. I was watching and trying to understand, trying to figure out what was happening. Then I saw it. She was laughing. My face was swollen from tears, my heart still racing, and my skin was on fire, and my mom was laughing? What the hell was going on? Very slowly, I crept a little closer, and I then overheard. "I'm so sorry about this. I guess she just got scared being home alone and overreacted. I'm really sorry." What the hell's happening? What did I do wrong? Did I imagine this? Was this a dream? Should I not have called 911? Did I actually overreact? My memory of what happened after that is a little hazy. I remember refusing to stay home alone and the sound of the phone ringing just rippling through my body. It wasn't something I liked discussing. I refused to repeat what had been said to me by the voice on the phone. My mom decided that she knew who did it, but she didn't even know the details. There was no investigation. No one was questioned. She told me it was a boy who was the same age as me who lived across the street. I knew that was impossible, but no matter how much I protested it, I was always told that it was him. Many years later, after I was an adult with my own children, we were at Christmas. Everyone was in the living room and I had gone into the back bedroom to change a diaper. As I was walking out of the room and back into the living room, I could hear my mom laughing, her voice as if she had been telling a joke. The faces of everyone else in the room told a different story. Discomfort, anguish, shock, fear, yet she was still laughing. It felt as if I was walking in slow motion. One of my older children had actually stopped me from entering the living room and sort of pushed me back into the room that I had just come out of.
Well, that is the show. I hope y'all was entertained, and I hope y'all basically enjoyed the terror tales, the ghost tales, and everything in between. Join me tomorrow night, same time, same place. Meet up, don't be meet up, or rather be there, don't be meet up. Y'all know it. Don't be playing. Be raw, not raw. So, I love y'all so much. Thank y'all for the support and the love. Y'all are the reason why I do this. Every night, y'all keep me going. Especially the ones that DM on Instagram. Y'all be like, you're too quiet. I don't see you posting nothing. Or whatever the case may be. Are you sleep over there? In between stories, I'll admit I do doze out here and there. But luckily, I always wake up right on time. What are you going to do? Anyway, I'm going to leave y'all with my thought of the night. And my thought of the night is this. There is no one on this earth that is perfect. And if you find someone who claims to be 100% perfect, that is the one that you would want to keep close, because that is the one that will potentially end up stabbing you in the back. So with that being said, love, peace, and blessings. Pray before you leave. I love y'all. And good night.